It was Primal Scream who told us, don't fight it, feel it. And if ever there are key messages that resonate in the world of mindfulness and personal development, this could be one of the big ones. After all, what you resist persists. Yet resist we do, and most of the time we don't even know we're doing it. But every time we feel discomfort or dissatisfaction in our lives, it's our resistance to what is that we're feeling. This anxiety about the future, the worry about the past, never really being present to do the real work that we need to do in order to make our lives better, or even just be happy. Indeed, in the pursuit of happiness, we often focus too much on the thing we're trying to escape from, rather than the thing we should be running towards. We don't want to be in debt anymore. We don't want to work in the office anymore. We don't want to be overweight, single, tired, whatever, anymore. And all these things that we resist persist. This is Conversations on Living, a podcast all about being, doing, and living well. I'm Chris Brock, and I started this podcast in order to find out the secret sauce to a happy, content, and successful life. This week's guest is Dr. Travis Fox, who says that the key to getting what we want is not simply to stop fighting against what we don't want, and not even to think about what we do want, but to feel that we are already where we want to be. That feeling aligns ourselves with the future that we desire and makes it much more likely to happen. Travis holds doctorates in psychology and clinical hypnotherapy and is a highly regarded public speaker. He also appeared in the sequel to the controversial but hugely popular film The Secret, called Beyond the Secret, The Awakening. Working generally with organisations, he has put together what he calls the ultimate business quest, a kind of gamified approach to getting us to dive beneath who we think we are, to discover four different archetypes that align with our values and encourage us to feel our way to success. To find out more about Travis's ultimate business quest, head over to ultimatebusinessquest.com. And before we get into my conversation with Travis, just a quick word about Headliner. It is the service that I use to create audiograms. So you've probably seen them. Anyone who publishes a podcast usually uses these kind of things to market what they're selling on social media. So it might be a graphic with a waveform or a video that includes a short clip of the podcast. And I use Headliner because it is probably the most powerful and easiest way to create these things. So if you're a podcast host, I would definitely check it out. That's at www.headliner.app. And also just a quick word about Plane. So Plane is a computer game that's designed to teach you meditation and mindfulness. So you are encouraged to build a beautiful island, grow trees, grow forests, and create this kind of peaceful and beautiful island using just the power of mindfulness. It's a really innovative take on mindfulness and meditation, and it was created by a previous guest of the podcast, Krish Srikumar, and it's a really novel take on how to bring more mindfulness and presence into our lives. So if gaming is your thing and you want to give meditation a try, then definitely check it out. That's Plane, that's P-L-A-Y-N-E, and that's at www.plane.co. And similarly, if you want to check out Headliner, that's at headliner.app. And anyway, that's enough about that. Now it's time to dive into my conversation with the high energy and very interesting and insightful Dr. Travis Fox. So Dr. Travis Fox, thank you so much for spending the time to come on the podcast today. I know you're incredibly busy helping people, well, you call it build empires, I guess. And you work with entrepreneurs and people who want to kind of take themselves and their business to a kind of new level. And you talk about taking people on an adventure and call yourself the Quest Master. So tell us how that works, maybe a bit about how you got started. And yeah, we'll just see where we go from there.
Yeah, no worries. First of all, thanks for letting me on the show. And secondly, I'm never too busy to do this because I'm in the people business. So thank you for the opportunity. It's not just taking people on an adventure. It's you're already on one. From the moment you were born, you're on the ultimate adventure, life's greatest adventure. However, often we get lost in the adventure in the mire or the pit of daily life, of humdrum, of either working for a company or a corporation in exchange for our real dream, or chasing our dreams, but most often, instead of actually creating the dream, chasing our tail. And so what the Ultimate Business Quest and its subsidiaries are all about is, one, let's make business fun again. Because when it's not, if it's not fun, and I don't care whether it's business, personal relationship, exercise, you know, walking around the block, if it's not fun for us emotionally, you're not going to do it. Or you'll do it for a while and you'll quit. Something that I'm really notable about is people are often are committed to quitting more than they're committed to commitment. And so part of what we work with is, you know, for 31 years, I've been in this space. You know, you can read more about my background. You know, I generally don't like to talk about myself because it sounds like I'm egoic and blah, blah, blah. But I've got myself, my partner's got all the credentials you ever wanted. Some of them are behind me. You know, there's many more that aren't that you can't see right now. But the bottom line is, this is a 30-year journey to be able to take entrepreneurialism and to take the transformation of self, the company culture, your clients, even, you know, your product loads, and transform them and make it fun again. But more importantly, now more than ever, especially still in, you know, everyone says post pandemic. I'm like, well, we're still in it, boys and girls. We're not post yet. Post means done. We're not done yet for whatever reason. I don't care. But we're still in it. And that transformation has really brought to the forefront our value restructuring. What are we interested in? I find most of us are truly interested in the adventure of a lifetime. We really want to go on the adventure because there's this beautiful thing that nobody wants to talk about. So let me just get it out of the way fast. And that is, we all know deep down inside in places we don't want to talk about openly or at cocktail parties, that this thing we call life has an end point. The store is going to close. The theme park's going to shut down. It's over. And we want to get to a certain experience or have certain experiences, plural, before that time occurs. The challenge is, we get sidetracked and lost on this thing called business and pursuit of it, the achievement of it, the clout of it, the freedom that we really seek by getting in business for ourselves. And we never truly experience those things we want to experience because we're lost in the mire. And that's where the adventure gets sucked out of you. And when the adventure gets sucked out of you, it gets sucked out of your company culture, it gets sucked out of your clients, except your product base, your experience, your service, whatever it is you're providing, we forget that the adventure of being in business, whether working for someone else in a corporation, you know, multi-level marketing, entrepreneurial, coach, teacher, trainer, facilitator, whatever you are, is because you ultimately got into it because you wanted the freedom, the outcome, which is the fulfillment side. But in order to get to that freedom, we have to achieve all of these other things. And that'd be success, that's, you know, automation, that's a certain level of financial sequence, clout, whatever it is you want to categorize it, but we never really get out of that model. So we never really get full fulfillment. The downside of that is our good friend death is coming, and death is non-negotiable and you can't buy it. Doesn't matter how much money you have, even the great Steve Jobs succumbed to death. And I'm not making light of death, but as the great Alan Watts said, you know, life doesn't define death. Death defines life. So until we're willing to look at, there is a certain time sequence on this, and not from the impetus of fear or worry, doubt, or concern, which is where most spend in the achievement realm, is about, am I truly fulfilling the adventure of my lifetime through my business and making business fun again? So the ultimate business quest is about taking you into the fantasy realm. You would know that as subconscious and shadow conscious and simplicity in the clinical language, but in the foreign language, we just call it the fantasy realm. We put you in the fantasy realm, take you on this an adventure, because in that space, which scientifically proven, you'll transform. You'll do it. You'll do it automatically. In fact, your brain will rewire itself so fast, it'll almost seem like the fantasy has always been real, because when the fantasy becomes real, all of a sudden you go, wow, how did that happen? But that shows, because when you're, you know, time flies when you're having fun, puns intended, but more importantly, you're also fully immersed in it. So for the last 31 years, myself and my partners have been teaching corporations, company cultures, sales, business, and now we're finally first ones to have gamified it, according to Apple and Google. We put it all in an app for two reasons. One, it should be in the palm of your hand 24 hours a day and non-reliant on the humans. We're all there for you. But two, the price point. I was one of those guys, so I hold myself accountable and I throw myself in the mercy of the court. I was on the speaker circuit for years going, hey, buy my stuff at the back of the room, da-da-da-da-da. By the way, it's $4 bazillion. Okay, here's fundamental two problems. One, that model doesn't generally work. Two, why? Because 90% of the people will never get past step one or step two after purchasing. It's just an emotional purchase of feeling good and justifying their commitment to quitting. And I don't want to be a part of that anymore. And so many years ago, just about 10 now, I left that and said, I am committed. hellbound one way or another, to find a way to make the price point no longer an issue and yet give more value. So we did it. So now you can take the Ultimate Business Quest, go download the app. It's $2.99 a month. There's no upsell. There's no, but wait, there's more. Call now, we'll double your order for free shipping, which is all great stuff for, you know, the background I came from. But if you really look at true business, the companies that are megalith companies all do it the exact same way. It isn't about high ticket iteming the 1% screwing the 99%. We have the information, you don't. You have to pay your life fortune to make us more edified and then hope to God you make it work. Man, I was a part of that too. It's a really crappy model and it doesn't work. And in this pandemic realm, now more than ever, we need the, you know, the small and medium cap. And I mean, less than $50 million gross revenue companies to grow. And they may not, and more often than not, they're less than $1 million, you know, gross revenue. They need access to, how do I grow it? How do I increase my sales? How do I make my company culture better? How do I hire and fire so I stop costing myself $30,000 every time I screw up and hire and fire somebody? Because those little things add up over time and you don't really pay attention to it because you're so focused on the achievement of it. You forget that, hey, the fulfillment side is starting to fail. And so the whole process was to make that an adventure, make it fun, but also to putting the unbelievable realm into the believable realm is the trick. And we were all masters of that at one time. And then we slowly hypnotize ourselves to forget it, to push it away and say, hey, let's become adults.
I mean, it sounds like you're using techniques. We all know about kind of visualization techniques and this kind of thing. And we hear about them in kind of sports with athletes. You know, they talk about athletes visualizing their dream race. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are reports that this has the same effect from a kind of a neurological point of view. It's actually running a real race, you know, and so you train yourself to go through that experience. Sure. And, you know, there are all these stories about kind of prisoners of war who've mentally played their best round of golf ever for years, just in their heads. And it's kept them going. And then they come out of, you know, they're rescued or whatever it is. They go to the golf course and they play a perfect round of golf. You know, is that the kind of same thing that you're offering, but from a kind of business perspective on a kind of bigger
scale? Oh, God, no. It's far deeper and more impressive than that. Although, ironically, you should mention golf. My doctoral dissertation was on golf because that's how I got into this industry. Was I went from being ready to be on the PGA Tour to become a head case. And it happened overnight. Like, pow, like my whole world, my identity, everything I'd spent 20 years mastering just went down the drain. I was like, what the hell just happened? And the models that are out there, it's still out there to this day. Visualization is one of them. But visualization only works when it's empowered by emotionalization. If it's not powered by emotionalization, you're just mentally masturbating. And we're all great masturbators. That's awesome. But that has nothing to do with creating your fantasies into reality. And that's what the trick is. And so what I actually specialize in is a technique called reverse hypnotic thematic learning. And that is our conscious level conversation, which is what we're having right now. And all your listeners are listening to us in that realm. But there's a second level, which is your subconscious. There's a third level, which is your emotional level or emotional traumatic level. And there's a fourth level, which we call the architect or your being. And you can define that as spirit, chi, center, however you want it. We just call it architect for simplicity. But we very rarely do we address all four levels simultaneously. Yet, concurrently, continuously, all four levels are always communicating simultaneously. But we tend to ignore the bottom three as though they don't exist because they're below our awareness. I'm here to tell you that's hogwash. They can be in your awareness and you can go from this unconscious, you know, quasi competence to conscious competence. And that's when you hear these social pop terms like, you know, the law of attraction or the law of abundance, the law of manifestation. And they sound really cool on paper, but let me ask any of your, you know, your listeners out there, just out of curiosity, those of you been dreaming about having a purple Lamborghini and you put it up on, you know, the wall and you're going to stare at it all day, has the purple Lamborghini showed up? If you're like most, the answer is a resounding no. Why? That's a conscious intention. But your conscious mind does not change your behavioral thought processing, your belief patterns, your meta structures. Who you are and who you think you are tend to be an ocean apart. And so we never address them. So reverse hypnotic thematic learning takes you to conceptual themes. So there's, you know, roughly 9 big themes in life. And those are what we call the realms. The first one that we really always start people off is business, because it's something tangible, visceral, and they see it outside themselves first as an achievement part of their fulfillment. If I come to you and say, I'll tell you what, Chris, We're going to dive deep into why, and I'm making stuff up, by the way, why you're, you know, you don't believe in yourself and, you know, you have this untapped potential. We're really going to do a deep, you know, kind of a gestalt model, or we're going to do some, you know, even a, you know, Jungian model for that matter. You're going to go, yeah, I think that sounds great, Fox. I'm all into it, but I got to get all this stuff done first and then I'll get to me. And that's how we've always approached business. It's either I get all the business success, then I'll go figure out why I'm a mess and unscrew up my life, commonly called a midlife crisis. Or I'm going to work on myself so much, but I never really get to my business goals because I'm always discovering there's something else to work on. Okay, well, what if you put the two together, but you took all of this stuff out of the equation, all the headiness of it, all the, you know, the fear of it, all the deep, dark diving of it, and made it fun? I'm not talking about making light. I'm talking about fun. When you go through the ultimate business quest, there are things you're going to experience that are going to stump you. They're going to trip you up. They're going to bring things up that you've forgotten about, not from a perspective of therapeutic, but resolution. Because as long as it's active within you, whether you're aware of it or not, it is constantly being created and recreated into your internal, external experience. Now, the reason that people know that they're capable of doing this, and you all are, myself included, and what made it so much fun, and when the light bulb finally clicked where I was like, oh my God, that's, I've been on this journey for 30 years. It's been right in front of me all along. It's like, wide awake, Travis. It was the theme that we all really want is the adventure of a lifetime. We want to experience everything we want to experience before our good friend death comes knocking. And he or she will, however you want to define death. And so with that definition, if we know death is imminent, then life becomes the choice. But if I'm bound by this subconscious programming that I'm unaware of or unwilling to look at or don't even know how to bring up to get out of my own way, then I am truly a prisoner of my own mind, regardless of what it looks like on the outside. And so when we start with this whole concept of mind, body, spirit as a sequential way to unlock ourselves, to unlock our potential, to increase our sales, our company culture, yada, 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 it's truly like taking your head, beating it against the wall and expecting it to become a door and then getting pissed off when the wall doesn't turn into a door. But that's how we approach business. And it makes no bloody sense because that sequence is the issue. It's not the person. It's not you that's the issue. It's the sequence. So the sequence says mind, body, spirit. Okay, so if I'm asking my mind to solve itself, I am truly on the hamster wheel of life and the mental masturbation goes ad infinitum. And as the great Einstein said, that which creates the problem can't solve it. So when we hear all of this stuff about mindset, 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 and why there's so much endless content about mindset, and some of it's valuable, most of it's mental masturbation, regurgitation crap. And I say that with respect because I'm in the industry, I've done it myself. To go, knock it off, kids. We keep giving them a bunch of mind stuff and all you're doing is keeping them hypnotized. I know a little bit about hypnosis. My second doctorate's in clinical hypnotherapy, and I've hypnotized over 1 million people. I know a little bit about it. But my mentor who taught me, put me through all of my schooling, through all my degrees, was more brilliant than I've ever thought about being. And the whole reason he had been training me all these years and saw me before I even saw myself was to help people realize there is no such thing as external hypnosis. You've been hypnotizing yourself every single day to believe crap you know deep down inside is not true. So you don't need someone to hypnotize you to unlock your potential. We need to use a way to go, you keep hypnotizing yourself. How about we help you wake yourself up by becoming crystal clear on conscious competence, but make it fun. Because if you make it not fun, I don't even want to do it. Screw that crap. I want to have fun doing it because when it's fun, now we get into the law of attraction, law of abundance in the way it was originally designed, in my opinion. And again, I was one of the co-producers and co-stars of the sequel, The Secret, called Beyond the Secret, which released last year. So I speak to that from education as well. And that is this point. You can never run out of fun. It's in abundance in you. You can never exhaust it. Until the day you die, you have more fun and in abundance than you could ever possibly fathom. Two, you can turn it on a dime. Literally in any situation, turn it on. Three, it's infectious. Four, it's energetically reviving. You really, literally rebuild yourself at a cellular and neuroplasticity level when you're having fun. Now, everyone out there who's listening to this, who has objections, your wizard brain right now is going, oh, come on, Travis, this is too good to be true. This sounds like a bunch of games. You're damn right it is, because you're working your ass off, grinding your nose to the grindstone. That's working better for you? Okay, so let's have some fun with this and go back to you have mastered having fun and then abandon it because you were told to. Here's the proof. All of us went through schooling for roughly 17 or 18 years to graduate high school. During that time, from zero to that 17 years of age, de facto, we mastered creativity, imagination, fun, fearlessness. We fell down, tried experience, laughing, joking. We had all of that mastered. And then literally when we graduated high school, we were told, here's the deal. So Chris, you now need to be an adult. You need to go out and find your purpose. You need to find your passion, what you're passionate about. You need to find your soulmate and you need to do it damn quick. Great. I have no frame of reference on how the hell to be an adult. I've spent the last 17 years learning to master creativity. And we abandoned that immediately under the guides of getting permission to finally be who we really want to be and who we really are by being everything but who we really are under the guides of being a better self. Better than what? So we get this, and I say this with the utmost of respect, the opiate addiction, the addictions that are out there right now, whether you're talking about sex, drugs, rock and roll, they're all powerful addictions. However, my personal opinion, they all pale in comparison to the single largest addiction that has plagued humanity, and that is the addiction to the search. Searching for my better self, searching to be a better me, searching to be the, well, you can search a whole damn lifetime and never find jack squat because it has nothing to do with the truth. This isn't about you being a better you. It's about you finally being you and the misfit that you are. And I am too. I'm a dork. I'm a geek. I'm a ham. I'm a knucklehead. I'm all of the above, right? And here's the deal though. We were all those beautiful misfits, right? Kind of like the movie Goonies, if you remember that movie from back in the day. We're all these dork misfits that got together in this perfect tapestry of humanity. But around middle school, we started getting teased for not wearing the right clothes, or we weren't tall enough, or we weren't, you know, developed enough, we didn't have big enough muscles, we weren't smart enough. So we started doing social modeling and segregating. We got into band, we got into drama, we got into athletics, we got into cheerleading, whatever the hell you got into, to find a place to fit in. But in that fitting in, you had to shave off all these other characteristics that are you. Because otherwise you took crap for it. You got teased, you got bullied, you got ostracized, you got, you know, yelled at, whatever. And you stuffed that down and you turned it off. I'm here to tell you, boys and girls, speaking as the biggest misfit of us all, the P.T. Barnum and the king of the circus, myself, is that misfit in you, that thing that you try to hide, that thing you have stuffed down, that parts and parts of you that you ignore and have ignored for decades now is exactly what your business needs. And it's exactly where your mastership of not just the achievement of your life, but the fulfillment of your life lives. And we got to take the adventure to go do that. But if I tell you, we're going to go deep down inside the dungeon, the castle of who you are, we're going to uproot these seven fears that you have. We're going to root through your pit of excuses. We're going to teach you how to profile in two questions. We're going to teach you how to claim your throne, how to build your business, go from funding or from founder to funding to fortune. We're going to do this all in a gamified way. Your first initial reaction is A, it's too good to be true, or B, I'm scared shitless to do it. And I totally get that. That's why we made it fun. Because if it's not fun, you're not going to do it. And that's how we keep hitting our head against that wall and expecting to become a door. And that's what we really do. So it goes way beyond visualization. I think visualization is a great tool, but it has to have four or five layers underneath it. Otherwise, it is not a fully aligned you in the game. It's a part of you in the game, but we don't need any more parts of you in the game. We need all of you in the game because that's where the fulfillment and achievement really collide. And now that's when we leave the legacy of our lives. And that's what we all really want to do before the theme park closes.
This reminds me a little bit of something that Oprah said. And I know people think Oprah is a bit cheesy, but she's also massively successful and hugely influential woman. Right. And she said something along the lines of, if someone had told me how successful being myself would have made me, I would have done it a long time ago.
Exactly.
You know, how do we even know that we're not being ourselves? You know, we're here. Oh, that's easy. We're slogging through every day. We're feeling kind of, you know, subdued. Everything's hard work and we're not enjoying it. How do we know that that's not just what life is about? How do we know that, you know, there's more to that we can get out from ourselves to transform our life?
That's a dual ended question. It was a fantastic question. Thanks for asking that one. That's one I haven't heard in a while. Thank you. Because that's really the double-edged sword. The first edge of that sword is, you know that you're living not being yourself when you're acting. Now, I've been in film and television all of my life. I'm an Emmy Award winner, producer, director myself. I've been in front of the camera as an actor as well, but I've also been on stage for, you know, over 15,000 hours now in my career, still going. And there's a difference. When I'm on stage and I know I'm being full of crap, I can tell by the way I laugh, the way I fake smile, the way I, and we all do this like, oh God, that Chris, that was so funny. And anyways, and you go right back on. So that laugh right there is just hogwash. It's just bullshit, right? And we all do this. We call this small talk more often than not, as opposed to just being our real authentic self, because we're afraid if we give our real opinion, the other person might disagree. They might reject us. They might think we're nuts. They might be argumentative. They might just flat out go, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And so we've gotten so accustomed to rejection that we'll do everything we can to avoid it. It's called social modeling. So that's the first edge of that sword. The second edge of that sword is, if you're getting up every day, and we all do, so anybody on this who's listening to the show says you don't do it, that's the first place you know you're full of crap. So let's own that, and self-included. I'm not judging anybody. I'm talking about me as much as I'm talking about you. I'm talking about my partners too, which is why we love calling ourselves Quest Masters. We've guided thousands of people, but we don't have the answers for you, but we have the adventure set up so that when these puzzles come together, your answer naturally reveals itself in a way that you go, oh man, that was fun. Let's do the next one and keep unlocking yourself in a fun way. But when you realize that there's something more, you feel that craving. You can call it a desire. You can call it a hunger. You can call it a spark. You can go whatever you want. But there's this thing in the pit of your chest and in your stomach that says, this is it. This is all I do. I got my family. I got my house. I got my two cars, a cat and a dog and a pool. And maybe I go on a vacation once or twice a year. And I do this now for the last 10 years. That's it. Then you know you're not being authentic with you, because that means there's deep parts of you down in your dungeon. I'm using the castle as a metaphor. Why not? It goes with the quest, right? So down in the dungeon of you, there are things that are unfulfilled, because again, fulfillment versus achievement. Our achievement, yeah, you're achieving it. Maybe you're six figures, seven figures, whatever your financial sequence is. Maybe you feel secure in that. And that's achievement, but that's not fulfillment. Fulfillment is the adventure of a lifetime, traveling to unique experiences to learn and put yourself in situations where you don't have a frame of reference so that you can pre-qualify it, control it, judge it, compress it, and say, I've done that, as opposed to being present. Again, the age old cliche saying here really applies to the quest, and something we're very adamant, not just inside our company culture, but every company we work with and everybody who goes through the adventures with us, is very simple. It's time flies when you're having fun. Okay, but if you had fun your whole lifetime, then life is going to go by fast, slow, simultaneously, but you're going to be fully fulfilled and fully achieved, because they're now both of those are in alignment, and they're not two separate tracks where you're having to choose between one or the other, which is how business and self-transformation have been kept in very separate buckets for the better part of the last century, going all the way back to Napoleon Hill, if you want to use Think and Grow Rich as the primary, right? And so when you look at that, we go, wait a minute. If the world doesn't revolve around us, but we're the center of our world, it stands to reason, both emotional and logic, even though reason falls into logic, to say, hey, what if you combine the two, but you do it in a way that the self-transformation part doesn't have to be so woo-woo-y. Not that woo-woo-y's bad. I'm a woo-woo-y guy too. I cry at commercials now. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? But woo-woo-y of love. Hey, I have to shave my head. I have to wear an orange robe. And I have to sit on the side of a mountain and talk to a mountain for 3 damn years to discover the meaning of life. Although that's a choice, but it's generally not where most people are going to hang out, right? That's a very specific, path for a very specific type of avatar. The rest of us, we want to know how to get the hell out of our own way. Why am I so scared to death to talk to so-and-so or ask someone on a date? Or why am I so scared to make $1 million a month? Why am I so scared of what people will think about me? Why am I scared of success in general? Yet my whole life, I've been telling myself, go be successful, but I'm scared shitless of it. It's such an oxymoronic state, but that's because everything is trapped up here. We keep approaching mind, body, spirit. And the backbone of my work over 31 years is called the EC formula, or the emotional compulsion formula. When we are emotionally compelled, human beings become super beings. They become heroes. They lift cars. They care about their fellow man and woman in a way they never thought. Instantly, 9/11 is a perfect example. All of a sudden, every race, every creed, every gender ran to help. Didn't give a shit about anything except for save lives and help each other. How come we're not that way all the time? Because our mind says, oh, well, I've got to get mine before Chris gets his. And it's a dog eat dog world and it's competitive. Well, family, we've tried that for about 6 centuries now as a species. It sucks. We've repeated wars over and over again, and mine, yours, that doesn't work. And I hate to break it to everybody, but this is something we already know. We're the only neighbors on the block. We're the only ones in the entire solar system with an address here on Earth. So maybe, and now the time is starting to evolve, especially after this whole pandemic thing has really forced us to realign what's important and what our values really are between achievement and fulfillment and blend these two. And that became the ultimate business quest. And we've been working on it for 2 years and released and getting ready to release the version right now. It gets released in January 2020 in a full-on, you know, assault, if you want to use the model, where we're catapulting people over their doubts, their insecurities, their fears, and turning that spark on so now they know their passion, their purpose, their mission, their vision, and you could truly lead the legacy of our lives. Because deep down inside, our number one fear of all time is that we'll be forgotten. And that our life was for naught. And now, whether you believe in reincarnation or not, that's for debate of another time, your choice. Bottom line is, you ain't coming back as Chris in that body, and I ain't coming back as Travis in this body. So it's a one and done deal, boys and girls. So to say you're holding out for your 401k and to save for retirement is stupid. It's the dumbest thing. I'm not saying don't do things like that, but to say that's when I'll do blank, how many lives have been lost and unfulfilled? Knowledge never revealed, wisdom that was taken to the grave under that ideology. That's got to stop. Business has got to be fun. It's got to be collaborative, and it's got to be done in a way where it's an adventure. So now you're not beating your head against a wall. You're creating, how do we get over that wall? How do we catapult it? Do we put bricks in it? Do we fortify it? Do we make alliances with other kingdoms and kings and queens? And when you start looking at it from that point of view, you remember one thing. You spent 17 years of your life mastering gameplay as a kid, and then abandon it to try to become an adult under the school of hard knocks. And you've been there ever since. And you haven't mastered that because I don't know many happy adults. I know a lot of adults, but I don't know many happy adults. And I've been to the 1%. I've lived as one. I've been there for 10 damn years. And I was miserable because I went, well, wait a minute. Where's the adventure of it? I don't get it. I don't understand. And, you know, and everyone's like, well, Travis, you know, that's what everybody wants. I'm like, that's not what everybody wants. Everybody wants to experience what they want to experience, whether it's travel, adventure, culture, immersive, you know, business success. But let's cut the crap. At the end of the day, we all got into business for one thing, freedom on our own terms. But if we don't know who we are and how we show up as a warrior, as a wizard, or as a bard, or as a jester, how the hell can we ever ascend to become the king and queen of our own lives? We are becoming slaves to the addictive search, still searching to be a better version of ourselves. And the ultimate business quest is about, hey, making business fun again. And finally, it's not about you being a better Chris or a better whoever's listening to the podcast. It's not about you being a better you. It's about you finally being you and giving yourself permission, that misfit that you put in the dungeon, that hunchback that you dropped down and said, oh, I don't want anybody to see that part of me because they find out I'm a mess, they'll abandon me. That part of you is exactly what your business needs. And it is the human tapestry of your uniqueness that we need on a scale level for our species to finally grow in cooperation. And all of us stop being this androgynous, separate ideology of it's got to look like this, talk like this, act like this, and move like this. No, it doesn't. We have 20 years of proof going all the way back to Zuckerberg and beyond where, okay, Steve Jobs, you want to wear a turtleneck sweater? Wear a turtleneck sweater, be worth $4 billion. All right, you want to wear a hoodie? Wear a freaking hoodie. You want to wear your hat backwards? Wear your hat backwards. Who cares? What's important is that you're fully integrated as the king and queen of your life and you're choosing conscious competence versus unconscious incompetence or unconscious competence and truly bring the rest of your personalities that you have held in the dungeon and a part of your business and bring it the full you, and then helps me make your business fun again.
You mentioned early on Jung, and this kind of resonates quite a lot with what you're saying about that kind of person who's in the dungeon, you know, accessing those kind of subconscious, that subconscious you that you're not consciously aware of. Is it a case that like the real us is this kind of more emotional, spiritual creature, if you want to think about it like that, and we have all this kind of cognitive stuff that we accumulate throughout our adult life, and that is just bearing down on us and keeping the kind of lid closed on our potential and who we came here to be?
Chris, I love you. If we were close, I'd give you a big old juicy kiss on the cheek. Spot on, mate. It's exactly what it is. We mastered and came in masters to this life, knowing how to activate our imagination, how to activate subconscious, how to cellularly change our body, to transform ourselves, to become anything we wanted to become under the ideology of what we label in the English language as make believe. Well, listen to those two words together. We're making ourselves believe what we were doing. Well, I don't know about you, but where I come from, that's called the law of attraction, the law of manifestation. You're manifesting, making believe in there, or fantasy into reality. Well, the science has proven that's the only way we truly transform ourselves. The rest is just mental masturbation. We're just jerking ourselves off going, oh, you know, Chris, I feel totally excited. I'm motivated about what's going on. Okay, no, really, I'm excited today. Today's the day we're going to make it happen. I'm like, this is just totally screwing ourselves over. And when people go, well, Travis, you know, I'm not hypnotized. I haven't hypnotized myself. I'm like, BS. You're hypnotizing yourself every single day to believe shit you know is not true. You're making yourself believe that one day, if you achieve all of this stuff that you think is so damn important, that you'll finally get fulfilled. But you have no guarantee of that. It's mental masturbation of an illusionary thing called a guarantee. There's only one guarantee. You ain't getting off the planet alive. Period. So everything else in between is what do you choose to make yourself believe? But here's the problem. You're exactly correct. We've been so busy gaining permission from ourselves and all of our subcon programming to be everything but our true self in an order way to prove going, see, hey, Chris, I did the doctor thing. Hey, Chris, I did the PGA tour thing. Hey, Chris, I've been a filmmaker. I've done all these things. Is it okay if I'm finally Travis now? Thank you. Right. But that's what we do. And the only way we tend to do that as a quick basis and the lowest hanging fruit is through business and business success. We go achieve a certain amount of money, success, fame, clout, whatever it is, influence, whatever you want to call it. And then we jump over into the fulfillment side. Here's the problem. What did it cost you in time, resources, energy, experiences, opportunities presented of fulfillment at emotional and business and personal level over here on the ideology of achieving? I'm not saying achieving is bad. Please don't misinterpret. But how come they have to be in separate buckets? And it doesn't make sense. And so when you look at it from that point of view, you go, wait a minute. I am really good at kicking my own butt. I mean, I don't know if anybody else listening to the show here, boys and girls, but I've got black belts in kicking Travis's ass. I mean, I know how to beat the crap out of me. I'm pretty sure you guys are the same. The problem is you don't know how to stop. And you know how to get out of your own head because we weren't taught any of that. We come out of high school as an example, educationally intelligent, but life stupid. Well, what the hell's the point of being educated then? So I just spent 20 years mastering something only to quickly abandon it. And then we wonder why we're so committed to quitting and why we're really not entrepreneurs. We're serial job holders. That sounds like we're entrepreneurs because it feels better than going, well, that didn't quite work out the way I wanted it to. Let me start over. And I'm going, guys and gals, what if we just started from inception? Started from inception that the ground base plate of the emotionality that drives us all is fun. However you define fun is up to you, but you can't, again, you can't outrun it. You can't outgive it. You can't run out of it. Can't be stolen from you. So you can't say that you're not abundant. You're abundant right now, today. But there's a part of your logic that has said fun is for kids. Says who? I don't remember that anywhere in the handbook of life, but if you say so, I believe you. Again, hypnosis 101. You're hypnotizing yourself to believe that it has to be a certain way. And that goes back to what our brain only can function on what it knows. You would know that as the past. Well, you've already been there. What the hell do you want to go back? That's not adventure. That's a repeat process. And nothing's wrong with that. Just be aware that you're doing it. So when you're looking for emotions, we are highly emotional, but we're all taught that take your emotions out of it, Chris. Don't make emotional business decisions. Bullshit. General Patton. Key instrumental of the World War II was emotional as they come. And made his battle successful because he was hell-bent committed. When I summited Kilimanjaro, I was 48 years old. I'd never summited a mountain in my life. It was because my emotional, compelling commitment to it. I was willing to die for it because I didn't know what I didn't know. And I wanted to experience something so monumental that it was me and the mountain. And the mountain was going to win no matter what. It was about whether the mountain let me off the mountain and not killed me. And luckily, Mount Kilimanjaro was a beautiful queen that day and let me come off the mountain. But not without a price. I had to work through things that even as Dr. Fox that I knew, I still got to work through stuff. So when we look at this, we are emotional creatures. Otherwise, what's the point of all your achievement if you aren't fulfilled in love? What's the point of all of your achievement if you can't relate to your kids because you're an asshole or you're not there or you're disconnected or you're disassociated? What's the point of all this achievement of money if you don't watch other people grow their business and live their dreams and you get to be a part of it, even if you're on the sidelines, what's the point? Otherwise, all you're doing is playing a game by yourself and then you expect everyone else to come play with you. And when they don't, you get pissed off they're not in your sandbox. I'm like, duh. You learned that back in kindergarten, just forgot. So now we get to wake yourself up and go on the ultimate quest. Let's go into the fantasy realm. Let's reorganize all of these beliefs. Let's get them out of there. Let's look at the fears and do it in a way that makes facing the dungeon fun. No different than a spring cleaning. If it's fun, you love the clean. You love the feeling after the fact. You just don't want to look at the overwhelm. But what if we took that out of the equation and made it fun by putting you in the fantasy realm as a warrior, as a wizard, as a bard, and a jester, and you get to play the role, which is you, and develop you and your business simultaneously. Now all of a sudden we go from literally from founder to funding to fortune, and people are changing their lives all over the world. And for me, that's the best drug on the planet.
How do we go about defining what fun actually means for us though? Because when you, a lot of the time when you talk about fun, you're not thinking about climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. That doesn't sound like fun. It sounds like a kind of, you know, a passion, a passionate thing that you want to do, but it doesn't sound like fun. Fun kind of sounds like having a laugh, you know, having a giggle or something like that. Whereas some people, you know, the thing that really lights them up can be anything but having a laugh, you know? So how do you tap into that kind of emotional thing that really lights you up?
Great question.
It's different for everyone.
Oh, phenomenal question. Thank you. I'm so grateful for these questions, because these are the questions I love getting asked, because they're deep and they're fun. Okay. Defining fun as you said it to me is oxymoronic. That's the first problem. You can't define it. It's just a feeling. I don't need to explain fun to you or Chris. If I say, Chris, we're going to do this, and I go, are you having fun? You'll go inside instantly within a nanosecond, go, yes, no. So we already know what fun feels like to us. Again, we have 17 years de facto of experience of knowing what fun as a base plate is for us, because back then we were free. We weren't caught up in the mire of achievement and bill paying and the success and role playing and KPIs and all these other things we deal with in business. And I'm not saying they don't have merit. They do. But when we always constantly approach it from, it's got to be this business decision and it's got to be this and that, there's a price. There's a price, and your body will reflect it. Because often we see people that, not always, but often we see people that are highly successful, but their body's out of shape. They've abused their body, or they anesthetize their body, right? Or we see people that have broken relationships, or their relationship's a travesty, or their relationship with their children is a travesty, because they're so hell-bent on achievement that they forget fulfillment is equally as valuable. And vice versa. I'm all on my fulfillment, but I never achieve anything because I'm so busy on my fulfillment. I get stuck in the emotional drug. So defining fun is the first thing. You don't need to define it. You just need to experience it and feel it. But always ask yourself this question: how can we make this fun right now? Why? Because that's using your logical brain to activate your subconscious illogical, right? Just immediately, how do I make it fun? I don't know. Well, listen for a second. Once you understand the EC formula, you'll go, oh, that's cake. Because now everything can be made fun, not by force. Because you have to force it to be fun, it's not fun. Be made fun because you're literally shifting your entire physiology, your entire emotionality, your logical base structure, even down to your cellular level, your body responds instantaneously. You got billions of soldiers that are ready to create for you called cells. And they're just waiting for your two systems to talk to each other, your parasympathetic, your sympathetic systems to talk to each other, so that our subconscious emotion is translated into this visceral vibration. And then we bring that to an awareness commonly called consciousness, called fun, is how we label it. So to define it is the one thing that we don't want to do. What we do want to say is, you know how to have fun. What we need to do is get all the systems out of your company and out of your business that aren't fun, that are stuck in logic. And transform your company culture, because when everybody's having fun and that's their base plate, it's infectious. Things will come so fast that people go, oh, the law of attraction is working. I'm like, yeah, the law of attraction works from the like attracts like. But remember, like doesn't learn from like. Like learns from unlike. So I don't want a company full of warriors. I want some warriors. I want wizards, I want bards, and I want jesters. I want the unlike to be a part of my company, because I'm going to learn from them, because they're in their fun ship, if you will. They're in it. I'm in my fun ship, even though we're in two different parts of our mastership, but our co-mastering creates a kingdom. So now we start to learn from unlike. Whereas, remember, when we were in middle school, we did a little thing, the clinical term is called social modeling. Right? We modeled the group we felt we needed to fit into. That's cheerleading, drama, athletics, you know, band, whatever, to fit in. Well, in order to do that, we had to shave off a couple of those edges that didn't quite fit in with that group. Well, those edges are a part of you. That's like literally saying, you know what? This is the left arm club. So we have to cut off our right arm so we fit in. Great. Well, how do you pick things up on the right side? It gets difficult at times, but we fit in with the left-hand club. So we you think about that metaphor, that's exactly how we also approach business. When I challenge you, I invite you, I evoke in all of you, myself included, every single day, the misfit in you is exactly what your business needs, and it's where your mastership lives. And you have been taught, conditioned by the school of hard knocks post high school graduation, that that part of you is what's screwing up your business. And if people find out, it'll destroy you. It'll destroy your business. They want to be around you. I'm here to tell you that is total hogwash. I'm living proof bona fide. I lived as Dr. Fox for 15 years and was full of shit. Not because I'm not highly educated and not because I didn't know what I was talking about, but because I was presenting what doctors are supposed to look like, how we're supposed to dress, how we're always supposed to have our shit together and we have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I'm throwing crap. I'm still here on the planet. If I wasn't on the planet, then I might have all the answers because I'm plugged back in 100%. So let's cut the crap. That's why we call ourselves Questmasters. We have guided thousands of people and thousands of companies through this process. Guided is the word, not answered, told you what's up. This is how you're supposed to do it. We're like, look, we've created a series of puzzles and adventures and experiences for you in a fun way that unlocks all of those things in your dungeon, in your castle, in your being that you have been hiding from and running from your whole life because it was going to be scary as hell to go down there. That's why we wanted achievement first, and then we deal with fulfillment second. Well, wait a minute, boys and girls. That's why our body gets riddled with disease. That's why we get fat and overweight. That's why we get out of shape. And yes, I said fat, deal with it. I've been fat too. So grow up, right? But I say it too, because the United States is the most gluttonous country on the planet. Why? Because we are so focused on achievement that we forget that fulfillment is almost equally, if not more valuable on a life scale. And we sacrifice our bodies. We sacrifice our time. We sacrifice our relationships because here's how we go. I got to take care of Chris. I can take care of the kids. I can take care of the bills. I can do my podcast. I can do all this stuff. And whatever's left over, that little hour left in the day at 11 p.m. when you're flat out bloody exhausted and you got to get up at 5 a.m. and start this journey all over again, that's the part that's left over for the fulfillment side of you. Well, boys and girls, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I can add. That doesn't work. And we all know it. And that's why our life's we start having health issues, relationship issues, because we're out of fulfillment alignment. And why can't business be fun? I mean, if you're going to dedicate yourself to 10, 20, 30 years of a journey, whether you're an entrepreneur or CEO, you're a multi-level marketer, coach, or whatever you are, you're in one business, the people business. But if you don't know yourself and how you show up, how the hell are you going to be the people business? It makes no sense. So we got to start taking care of ourselves from both sides. And the Quest does that in a way that A, makes it fun. B is not an obligation. C doesn't feel like you have to stop the entire world and dismantle everything and destroy your life, which is what you're going to do subconsciously anyways, because that's subconscious, you know, incompetence. In order to get to the truth, what if we did it in a fun way and we do it in such a way that it's in fantasy play? It takes you back to who you were before they sank their teeth in you and told you who you're supposed to become.
That's really powerful. I mean, I've had conversations on this podcast with people like Martha Beck, and we talk about kind of young children who, when they're first born, they don't have language, and they're pretty much, you know, the whole world is waiting for them. But straight away, we kind of start to impose our culture on them and all this kind of stuff, and it starts to already shrink down the possibilities of what is possible. But say you are there and you're at your desk, and you know that you want something more, or you're dissatisfied with where you are. How do you start to kind of gamify your situation to get the ball rolling, to find the fun in where you are right now?
Great question. Okay, audience, I'm going to give it to you up front. Here's my astonishingly admissible admission right here. Here's my cheap, shameless plug. Go to theultimatebusinessquest.com and find out who you are. Are you a warrior? Are you a wizard? Are you a bard? Are you a jester? It's free. It costs you nothing. It's right there on the website, right? And so the first thing you're going to do is, how do I show up? But you're going to do it based on your own answers. And you're going to find out who you think you are, and who you are generally are not the same. Because who we think we are in our head, like the Matrix said, our digital resonance self-image, and who we really are two different things, because we've been acting our whole life. Using Martha's example, and I agree 100%, you know, from up to the ages of 0 to 5, everything's emotion. We see emotion in our parents' eyes. We feel contact. We feel the embrace, and we can do no wrong. We are truly in an unconditional loving space as our base plate. And it is slowly retracted as we get older. Around five, we start hearing things like, well, Chris, you're a big boy now. You need to start to learn to do it on your own, or do as I say, not as I do. Big boys don't cry, et cetera, et cetera. And so we start to retract that unconditional love, and we start to learn conditional love for performance. If I perform, I get the attaboy. If I don't, I get timeout. So I start to learn social modeling conditioning based on consequence. Whereas when you're creating, yes, consequential things come up, but your approach to it is radically different. We stay from the creative emotional side, solution oriented, as opposed to, oh crap, the sky is falling. Here we go again. I knew it. It's too good to be true. And that's when you start to realize when you traded in dreaming, creating for this beautiful drug called hoping. And to me, hoping is the worst drug on the planet from the perspective that we all hope for the best, but we all know to plan for the worst, which means emotionally, we're already for failure. We're committed to quitting. We're committed to the disappointment. In fact, we're expecting it. And then we wonder why we're surprised when we get it. Duh, because we're creating from that emotional space, and all of our soldiers, our cells are vibrating at that level. Science has now proven that we do vibratory action. So now with that experience, your conscious intention doesn't mean jack squat. It's just mental masturbating. If it's not from what the EC formula actually teaches you how to do in a fun way. And so when you start looking at the unlimited potential, you really start to grasp it is unlimited potential. We are the ones that are limiting ourselves, and we know it somewhere in our cognitions. We know it, but we don't know how we did it. In fact, we're such good hypnotists and such good creators that we created an entire life and we forgot where we put that key. And we locked it away in our dungeon, and we're looking for the key and going, damn, where did I put that key? I forgot. I used to have fun. I used to be funny. Back when I was in high school, I was the jokester. I was the guy that got in trouble all the time. Now I'm a schmuck, right? I get up every day. I'm grumpy. I got to have my cup of coffee. I got to have my glass of wine at night. I'm not saying things are bad. I'm a coffee whore myself. But we started looking at the way we anesthetize ourselves from the truth. You know, they say the truth will set you free. Well, okay, then if the truth will set you free, then all the lies and the acting and the presenting personality parts is what keeps us in bondage. By our own admission, we are truly the dungeon master. We are also the prisoner. We're also the prison warden. So we get to be all three. And what makes that really fun is when you start to understand, wait a minute, am I a warrior? Am I a wizard? Am I a bard? Am I a jester? Do I like my purpose? Do I like my analysis? Do I like passion? Do I like being? You're going to realize that you're all four, but if you show up to say as a wizard, like right now, you're a beautiful wizard watching how you move. I can tell you're a wizard, at least in the frame that you're presenting right now. So I know what a wizard does. I know how a wizard approaches business, approaches relationships, approaches themselves. But I also know the flaw of the wizard. I happen to be one myself. But you start to realize that, hey, I'm showing up as a wizard in my business. I'm super analytical and I can always find the flaw in everything. The problem is you always find the flaw in everything, which means you're constantly finding the flaw, which is why you get that paralysis by analysis. Here's the problem. That means only 25% of you is on the game, is out on the field. The other 75%, the warrior, the bard, and the jester, is sitting on the sidelines going, hey, coach, want to put me in? We're ready to play. But remember, those are the misfits of you. Those are the parts of the personalities that you have locked in the dungeon because you were teased, you were yelled at, you were laughed at, you were bullied, whatever. Whatever the issue was, but we didn't want to handle it, so we locked it away. And we get into the social modeling thing. And so when you come back to it and you look at, wait a minute, I haven't even got all of myself on the damn field yet. I've been holding back waiting. That's when you realize, oh my gosh, I don't need to learn how to have fun. I need to learn how to stop being a schmuck. I stop putting myself into this grind mode. And that's that first click of awareness. And it starts by just taking the archetypal quiz, because you can find out, who am I? How do I show up? How do my customers show up? I mean, what if you could read every customer and ask two questions and literally know how they show up? Warrior, wizard, bard, jester. It changes everything for fun, because now you know what you're looking for. I'm looking for warriors. I'm looking for wizards. I'm looking for bards. I'm looking for jesters. And they all their value. And then when you start to balance yourself, both in achievement and fulfillment in all four of the archetypes, and your business and your personal life and your business, your body life, then you start to realize you've been the king and queen of your castle your whole life. You've just been acting like the guard sitting out front waiting for orders from some mysterious king and queen that isn't on the throne. They're an absentee landlord, but you're the king and queen. And that's how you ascend to true balance in your life. And then you can go from there. But that makes it fun. But if I told you that and we did it in a therapeutic fashion, you'd be like, Totally get it, man. Yeah. Parents. Yeah. Yeah. It's my dad that did the whole thing. It's my dad's fault. Got it. Okay. I'm going to take that back to my boardroom. It makes no sense. But when you define a company culture by fun, now the finger pointing of blame turns into the finger pointing of fun, going, Chris is a wizard. Crap. I get it. You know what? That's why he's so good at analyzing. That's why he can look at the algorithms. He can look at the data. Well, I need wizards as a king. I need wizards around me that can give me good informed data because that's what they love to do. As opposed to saying, will you stop telling me it can't be done? Stop finding the damn flaw, Chris. Stop being such a negative Nilly. Quit pissing on my parade, pal. You're pissing me off. Which is exactly what we do. As opposed to going, time out. Chris is a wizard. I love his mastership. Chris, you analyze the hell out of it. Find every flaw possible, please, so that we can make an informed decision based on the data. Now, all of a sudden, you're emboldened to go and find the flaw. That's the adventure for the wizard, to find the flaw and make it better and be the genius that you are, and then come back and go, Your Highness, Your Majesty, you guess what? I found it. We go, great, lay it on us, wizard. Wizard goes, bow, and everybody goes, yay. And then we take off. We say, okay, warriors, we found the data. The wizards has given us the king. Here is all of the thing you need for action. And the warriors go into action. The bards, they're our passion people. They're your salespeople. They're your customer service reps. They understand the message from the realm. So when they have the data, they know their action steps, they can be your messengers. But often we hire and fire to the resume, not to the character. And that's how we start to save money just right there alone. I mean, it's a standardized fact from the Department of Bureau of Labor of the United States that the average company spends $30,000 for every hire and fire of an employee. So just think, if you did that three times a year, there's an extra $100,000 to your bottom line just by learning to hire and fire correctly to who they are, not to what their resume says. And when you learn how to do that and learn it very quickly, I mean, I'm talking 1, 2, 3, 4 questions. You've got it. You know exactly where they are. Boom, boom, boom. Just like we did right here. You go, Chris is my wizard. Chris, you know, over here in this department, this is what we're looking for. We need a wizard to be the head of that realm. You're going to be the duke and the lord of that realm. It is your realm to run. Do you want the job? Yes or no? Done. Now we both know what we're doing. We both know our mastership, and it's fun. And it's fun from the perspective of, I know I've got a great wizard. You know, you finally get to be the full wizard that you are, and you're applauded for finding that flaw in the genius that you are and coming up with the solution and finding the flaw in that solution to make sure that solution works. And now all of a sudden the wheels start turning, and now our kingdom starts making more money. Now the realm gets bigger. Now we start making alliances with other kingdoms and queens. And at the end of the day, we're on the adventure of a lifetime, because we all know the adventure is going to end one day, what we call scene, and the whole thing's going to end. And we get to have the adventure of a lifetime. And when you're doing that from that perspective, it makes it fun. It makes all the things that we get caught up in less interesting. And we've certainly stopped becoming drama kings and queens. That part gets to stop, unless you like being a drama king or queen. Some people do, right? We get to stop the drama. And more importantly, it's infectious. And I don't mean infectious in the negative way, like we've gone through the post-pandemic. I mean, it creates a groundswell like a tsunami where people go, I want to have part of fun, because we all want to have fun, because work sucks, obligations are drag, and regret kills us. It's that simple. So what if we did it that way? Now it's all in the palm of your hands and nap. And now you can go discover your epic self and your true epic hero that you put in the dungeon a long time ago, who's saying, hey, coach, put me in. You're going, no, stay down there, because if you come out, you're going to embarrass us. Quite the opposite. You're embarrassing yourself by not letting that come out, because there is a part of us that can sense innately, consciously, subconsciously, in shadow, that there's something more in this person when we meet them and they're not bringing it forward. And that we all hate small talk. No one's interested. I don't know anybody who's that interested in small talk, even people who think they're interested in small talk. We want to get the deep, meaningful conversations, because time is our asset and we only have so much of it. So when you put all these things together and you put it in an adventure where you're weaving through this map, an adventure, and there's puzzles and there's adventures and there's challenges and there's things, and it's all there for you, all you've got to do is figure it out. And it's not hard, because it's fun, but it will challenge you to evoke those parts of you. And what'll happen is the fantasy realm all of a sudden becomes your reality. And when your reality is shifting, all of a sudden you go, oh, I manifested that. I'm like, yeah, you did, but you've been doing it all along, but now you're consciously competent and you know exactly how to employ it, teach it, scale it. And now you have achievement and fulfillment. And that's really the ultimate business quest of our life.
I mean, it sounds brilliant from both a personal point of view and from a kind of business point of view.
Thank you.
So just a reminder, you mentioned the web address before, but where can people go to kind of find out whether they're a wizard, a warrior. or a jester or whatever it is.
Or a bard. Go to theultimatebusinessquest.com, or you can download the app. Go to your Apple Store or Google Store, type in UBQ, just those three letters, which stands for Ultimate Business Quest. You'll see this logo, which is the King's logo, the realm, and start playing the adventure today. The first thing you're going to do is find out, who are you? Warrior, wizard, bard, jester. How are you going to start the adventure? Are you going to start as a warrior, wizard, bard, and a jester? And what does that mean? And then you'll go deep dives through that, and we'll take you on these adventures, and it will all seem like a game. And at first, especially you wizards. So Chris, I'll tell you up front, you wizards are going to go, this is a game. I don't have time for this. This seems like it's just a bunch of fantasy role play. I'm like, well, excuse me, who's the one who's been playing fantasy role play for the last two decades? So you already know how to do it. Why not do it with something that's given proven results? And more importantly, affects everybody around you, affects your company. It affects that achievement and that fulfillment and those crosshairs that you want to put together. And have fun, because here's the deal. If I charged you $100,000, would you do it? 99% of people would say no, or I can't afford it. So if I say it's $2.99 a month and the maximum you can spend is $36, then the only thing you're going to come up with is, wait for it, it's too good to be true. I'm like, really? Okay, well, you just keep putting that purple Lamborghini on that little vision wall of yours and let me know when it shows up in your driveway if it's too good to be true. We have the data to prove it, wizards, that it works, that it's worked all over the world already. But again, it's funny, because when we really sat down with this, we wanted to move away from all the high ticket stuff. I mean, I was guilty. I hold myself in contempt. I was one of those guys for years. Buy my item, it's $30,000. I'll make you an architect master. We'll reorganize your company and I'll teach you everything, basically making you a de facto doctor at the end of the day. Great. I also knew that 90% of you would never get past the first chapter. You wouldn't do it. And there's a hypocrisy in that, that for me, just for me, Travis Fox, I said, I can't be a part of anymore, because that's not the impact, the legacy I wanted to leave on my life and what my mentor taught me and what I was challenged to do. And I accepted the challenge. I've been on it for 31 years and I'm going to, you know, go to my grave finishing this quest. And that is, if you look at every major juggernaut company in the world, the big ones, Netflix, Amazon, even Facebook, hell, Instagram, TikTok, they're all based on small barrier to entry and scalability. But we can't scale something if it's constantly focused on all the self-transformation, mindset. Again, mind can't solve itself. So it's just this big $936 billion business of mental masturbation. Very little actually transforms, but a lot of money is being spent. But we're not getting the generated results that people are actually looking for. It's no different than a drug. So I'm like, well, wait a minute, what if you took price out of it? And the only objection could be price. The other one is, you know, I don't have time for games. I'm like, and yet you're playing the biggest one of all time called life. Wouldn't it be interesting if we got in the game and actually played the game on our own terms versus somebody else's? So go to ultimatebusinessquest.com, take the archetypal quiz right there, or you can just go straight download the app. Again, $2.99 a month, rocket science. Maximum you spend is $36 with us. There's no, but wait, there's more upsell, blah, blah, blah. Because now more than ever, small and medium cap businesses, again, this is really kind of an under 10 million or under 50 million as the high end, needs most. They need access to these tools. We need company culture shifting, especially from a remote working point of view. How do we scale? And we've got to be able to reach people faster and get connected with them quicker, not just from like a social network. And I mean, to connect with your customers, connect with your culture, connect with hirees, employees, contractors, and connect with them in a deep realm that it creates this emotional compulsion and it keeps the business on fire, catapulting over excuses and insecurities and doubts and putting that business on a hell-bent quest. Because when you're on a quest, now all of a sudden you're something part of bigger than yourself. And deep down inside, in places we really don't want to admit, that's what we really want. We want to be part of something bigger than ourselves and go, hey man, I was a part of that. I was a spoke in that wheel. I did this and I was there. I saw it when. We want to be part of that. And that's why we all got into business as well. And now your business can be that reason other people are joining if you make the culture fun.
Brilliant. Well, I think that's a perfect note to end on. And it's quite... There's a lot you've talked about, which we could have really gone in on some deep dives there. But also some reoccurring themes that seem to keep popping up. You know, listen to your subconscious self. You know, find ways to tap into that and recognize it and understand that that is your kind of inner wisdom, guiding you and trying to tell you where to go. So very grateful for that. I'm going to go and do the quiz now and start my own journey. So I really appreciate that. Meantime. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Travis Fox. I'm very grateful.
Thanks for letting me be on there. All right, man. Quest on. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks a lot.
So there we go. High energy and some interesting ideas about how to attract the life we want by feeling our way to it. That URL again is www.ultimatebusinessquest.com, and you can find the app on the App Store on Google Play. Next week, I'll be chatting with Sam Thiara, who is a teacher at Vancouver's Simon Fraser University. He calls himself the Chief Motivating Officer, and he wants us to all become the heroes of our own story. In the meantime, whatever you're doing and wherever you get your podcast, don't forget to subscribe, rate and review, and continue the conversation on our Facebook group. Just search for Conversations on Living. And you can also find more episodes along with my writing, my meditations, my books, all at conversationsonliving.com. So check that out. And until next week, have a lovely day.